the first lull in conversation, so it's time to begin. Well, good morning. It is good to gather again here on Sunday, the second Sunday of Advent, as we lit the next candle in our journey of restoration is near. Thank you, Jan, for doing that this morning. So I thought today we would have a little fun. Okay? Let's just have a little fun. So we have signs out there. There's, you know, Tesla, the five-man acoustical signs everywhere, signs, you know. There's signs everywhere. We're inundated with signs, right? And so I wanted to bring some signs to you, and these are just for fun, okay? But it's going somewhere, I promise. Okay, so here's a sign. Okay, go back to the first one. This first one here, okay, this is apparently the cars go in the water. I don't know. Should we obey this sign or not? I was just doing what the sign said as the car is sinking to the bottom of the lake. Okay, so next. I love this one. Hey, because I don't actually love it. That's rather, I find it interesting. How about that? Okay, next one. Next sign. Yep, okay. Has anyone ever been here? Next 20, there's nothing. There's absolutely nothing from this point. You've been there. Have you seen this particular sign? These are real signs, people. So there's a sign right there. Okay, let's go to the next sign. Sign, what's the sign not in use? Okay, anyone? I mean, do I believe this sign or not? Can I trust it? Sign not in use, which is just odd. Okay, so next sign. Okay, something's over there. I don't know. Good luck. Just whatever it is, come back to the sign and tell us what it is. I don't know. Okay. Next sign. Okay, so if this is some retirement community in Florida, I don't know. I'd hope these are real, actual signs somewhere. Okay. I don't think they're photoshopped. Okay, so next sign. Okay. All right, here. So there's a song that has this. This might be Vanilla Ice, I think, from back in the day. Stop, collaborate, and listen. That's fun. Okay, next one. Yep, okay. It's not going to end well. Okay, you go. It's just not going to end well. I'm not sure where this is at, but it's kind of fun. Next. Okay, so maybe you should look at this in your rearview mirror first, and then it turns out it's actually pointed the right direction. I don't know. That's fun. How about this next slide? Next sign. So, okay, don't stop for any reason except for this red light right here. So what do I believe? I don't know. Next. Okay, you ever sort of been in this situation? Perhaps in life, right? One way, sir. But I was just... Okay, next. Okay, yeah, I'm confused here. Don't go anywhere. Ever. Just stay right there. Okay, next one. Yeah, I don't... Just... This is just how we, you know, go about our day. 45 miles an hour, though. Only at 45 miles an hour. I think that might be the last one, but every year... this second Sunday of Advent, we have a visit from John the Baptist. John is known as the forerunner, the sign that Jesus' ministry is coming. To prepare the way for Jesus, the one that God called to help the people get ready for their coming Messiah. Now, normally, when we think of Advent, we think of preparing for Christmas. We've got Christmas carols. Christmas caroling, which will happen in 2 weeks. More on that later, okay? Gingerbread houses, decorating the tree, Christmas music, Christmas cookies, drive-through nativities, which happened last night. This is over at Christian Union Church, so there's that scene, and then the next scene over is, hey, these people look familiar. This is great. So... it's awesome to hear them singing for 30 minutes or so. It was really, really warm last night, right? Yeah, So thank you for braving the cold and providing that gift through the drive-through nativity. We think of wrapping presents for loved ones, lots of joy, celebration. It's the most wonderful time of the year. And then here on December 4th, just as the preparation for Christmas really starts to take off, we have a scripture text that includes the following: wilderness, repentance, confession of sins, some name-calling, you brood of vipers, flee from a coming wrath, the axe is ready at the root of the trees, and to burn up the chaff in an unquenchable fire. Thanks, John. Wet blanket much? Okay, so way to spoil the mood of Christmas as we're sort of taking off into this Christmas season. Could it be that John the Baptist was the original Scrooge? I don't know. I'm just making the comparison. One may wonder about that. Well, if there was a road sign, if there was a life sign that I would assign to John the Baptist's ministry, it would be, any guesses? This one. It's a U-turn. If I were to assign a sign, to his ministry, it's a U-turn. Last week's sermon text, we talked about the apocalyptic text of Matthew 24, with the call to be watchful and to wake up from your slumber, okay, as we began our Restoration is Near Advent series, because we need to wake up from our slumber because the coming of the Son of Man is near. And this Sunday, as we follow that with this Matthew 3 text and a call to respond. So watchful, wakeful, and now to respond. And that responding is this: repent. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Another translation, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's at hand. Now, as we consider this word repent, when I say the word repent or repentance, what comes to your mind? What do you feel in your heart when you consider this word of repentance? Do you sense anything in your body when someone says repent or repentance? What's your experience of this word? Or this word repent, or in the Greek, metanoia, is it a harsh command or is it a gentle invitation? Is it a reminder of all the ways that we have gone and made a mess of things? Or does it inspire hope and bring joy in this Christmas season? Or maybe it's something altogether different. Repent. Repentance. What is that for you? Now, repentance, metanoia, is, at a certain level, it is related to what we do or don't do in the world. It does have something to say about our morality. It's related to having a contrite heart, a remorseful heart. It holds an invitation to try harder and do whatever it is next time better. And do whatever it is better next time in a way that would please your Heavenly Father. We can hold on to that understanding of repentance, for it is helpful and useful at some level, to be sure. But I wonder, and I invite you to wonder with me, let's imagine with me this morning, if perhaps there's a deeper meaning of this word repentance. We know that the events found in the Bible come from a certain place, a certain time, a certain culture, and a particular point in human history. This story from Matthew 3 happens after the birth of Jesus, and Jesus has been walking the earth by this time 25 to 30 years. This story is in the wilderness. It's just before the start of Jesus' public ministry here on earth. This is the moment when these words were uttered: repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Now, today, thousands of years later, we read once again, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. By this time, Jesus has come, lived, died, and has risen from the dead. By this time here today, December 4th, 2022, the kingdom of heaven has been near for quite a while. Have you ever thought that if everyone, your whole family, your neighbors, your coworkers, our political leaders, those whom you disagree with, and that guy that cut you off in traffic yesterday, have you ever thought that if they just got right with Jesus, it would be then that the kingdom of heaven would be near? Right? You ever had that thought? I have. Right? Somehow that if everyone would just repent, that would fix all the world's problems. Come on, people, repent so that the kingdom of heaven would come. I don't know about you, but I've had that thought for sure. Every Advent, we place ourselves within the story of the Israelites, and we wait in joyful hope for the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we anticipate that the Son of Man will come near again. And yet, the kingdom of heaven is already present in this time and in this place. Some may think that we're just passing through when it comes to life here on earth. Some may think that we're just passing through. At times, we're merely just experiencing life as we know it until on earth, until one day we will experience heaven in the afterlife. I like St. Catherine of Siena's take on this. She saw it differently when she said, in regards to this very life that we're living, she said, it's heaven all the way to heaven. She understood this idea that the kingdom of heaven has come near. It's heaven all the way to heaven. So we continue in this, we'll pick it up in verse 7. But when he, that is John the Baptist, saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think that you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." Here, we see the two primary groups of people that had resistance to Jesus and his ministry. They enter the story here as the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who, remember, were religious leaders of their day and who were constantly at odds with one another. The two things that did unite them, that is the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the first thing that united them was their hatred of Jesus. Second would be their need of repentance and baptism. And they were coming together under that same need in this story. Jesus says, "You think that you can say that they come from a place of privilege, that we have Abraham as our father." Though John the Baptist is revealing in the kingdom of heaven that has come near, John is revealing that in the kingdom of heaven that has come near, that any claims to a special status is subverted. It may have been important before, but it's not important anymore. Any claim to a special status. Claiming special status as a chosen people based on one's lineage from Abraham is countered with being a child of God, which claims no status, yet is marked with love, marked by fruit in the world. Next, John the Baptist tells the Pharisees and the Sadducees, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Fruit is an important image in the New Testament, particularly in Matthew. To paraphrase this verse, it could be said, show that you've really changed, metanoia. Show that you've really changed by acting differently in the world. Now, John here, as he is in his delivery, he seems a bit harsh. You brood of vipers. It's name calling. Okay? John the Baptist, the meanie. Or just John the Baptist, why so unforgiving to these people? And it says, you brood of vipers. And we can begin to think, well, that's the religious leaders. That's the Pharisees and the Sadducees. This same story, which is in all four Gospels, it says brood of vipers. And Sadducees and Pharisees are not mentioned. He says it to the crowd. So, well, I'm not a religious leader. That's not talking to me. Well, and others, the same story elsewhere is, it. He says it to everyone. So maybe we're all included. Perhaps it is that, why is he so forgiving? Perhaps it's because they've become too comfortable in their status of children of Abraham. Okay? It may be that, it may have been that their status prior to the kingdom of heaven, right? No, it's okay, we're Mennonite. It's a joke. But now, since the kingdom has come near, it's not about status anymore. It's not about status, but a way of being and a life to be lived. It's a way of being and a life to be lived. Again, I wonder about this repentance word, this metanoia. And I wonder if it carries something more than just correcting one's bad behavior. And I wonder if it's more than just making better choices. Repentance. Maybe on a surface level, that's what it means. Though I wonder if there might be a deeper invitation. And it's really about returning to our original goodness, the image of God that we bear, and seeking to live and to move and to have our being from that space. It's a U-turn. I wonder if metanoia, repentance, is about recovering the parts of ourselves that we have forgotten or have neglected. What if repentance is about the many U-turns that we make to get back on track, receiving the grace to change our minds, receiving the grace and experience a change of heart, and experiencing the grace and to lean into a new direction in our lives? Because I think in this U-turn, I think John the Baptist is inviting us back home. He's inviting us back home to the image that we bear. May it be that repentance is less about wrongdoing and more about healing and recovery. And we might even say restoration is near. It is not an invitation to become something different or someone different that we are not, but it's about returning to and reclaiming that original beauty as God created us in the image of God. U-turn. Restoration is near. And begin to think about how this might be illustrated. How can we have a picture of this? And so I cut up an apple. That's weird. Tennis ball just came through. The tennis ball. Okay, we can play after church. It's good. I'll just keep this one. No, I don't know. But this is probably someone's. I don't know. Okay. Whew. I was distracted. It's fine. It's all good. So, restoration is near. How can we picture this? How can we see this? Okay. And so, technology is fun. We can do time lapse. So I cut up an apple, put a slice, and this is an hour and a half. So go ahead. So we'll pause there. When I wake up in the morning, I might look like that slice when we first saw it. But by lunchtime, it doesn't look like when I woke up. And then by dinner, it's really gotten brown. And when I go to bed at night, I have to do this thing called examine. I have to recount, like, where in the day did I see and experience God's goodness and grace and love in my life, and that bore fruit in my relationships. And then there's periods of desolation where I'm like, God was probably present, but I was absent to his presence. And I've taken matters into my own hands. I've looked at my own ego. And I have gone and made a mess of things. And I don't eat brown apples. They're nasty, right? If it's out for more than like 10 minutes, I'm out. That's me, right? But restoration is near. Restoration is near. So then maybe it can look like this as you hit play again on that. Restoration. It's not becoming something that it wasn't in the first place, but fully restored. One of the things that always jumps out to me as I've been studying this text every second Advent, thanks John the Baptist, is that this metanoia, this repentance, is in the present tense. This is significant because it implies that the action ought to be ongoing. In other words, the action of repentance is not to be a one-time event, but a lifetime experience. It's interesting that this verse, this very verse, is on top of the 95 theses from Martin Luther when he looked at this passage. Knew it in Latin, but he looked at the original Greek. And the Latin had removed this continuous aspect of what the Greek is actually saying. And he wrote this, "When our Lord and Master Jesus Christ said, 'Repent,' he willed that the whole of life is one of returning." Repentance, but returning. For those who are watchful, for those who have learned to stay awake, repentance becomes a way of life, and it's to happen continuously because of how often, in fact, we do leave home and act in accordance with a false self or a sinful nature. Knowing this and becoming aware of this, us, we're invited to make a U-turn. Back to our original goodness, original beauty, the image of God that we carry. I don't know about you, but sometimes the circumstances of life and the situations we find ourselves navigating, it can take us right out of our center, right out of our true selves. So this invitation to repentance is not a belief that we must be holy, make good decisions, stay on the straight and narrow in order for the kingdom of heaven to be here. What's the Christmas song? With Santa Claus, you better not shout, you better not cry. You need to be on your best behavior before Santa comes, right? That's not how it works in God's economy. This isn't that reality. The opposite is true, in fact. John the Baptist says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Did you hear that? the kingdom of heaven has already come near. If somebody could be excited about that, that'd be great. Repentance is not about what makes the kingdom arrive. Repentance is not what makes it arrive. Repentance is how we show up to the kingdom. It's how we show up, because the kingdom is already here. Repentance is a response to, not a precondition of, the present kingdom. In repentance, we have a chance to see fruit in our lives and in the lives around us. We put on love, we put on forgiveness, we put on mercy. We begin to understand and live into generosity, wisdom, and peace. And we work towards justice in the world, bearing fruit in keeping with repentance. So the invitation to hold this morning, the question, as restoration is near. We have this, the next slide. Where or how might you have wandered from home? That is your true self. And is it time for a U-turn for the sake of fruit? We'll just hold this.